Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast this morning. My name's John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas, and we're glad that you've tuned in this morning to listen. Now, there may be some of you that have been listening to whichever radio broadcast you've been listening to, and all of a sudden here we are, and we're glad that we have the opportunity to share with you this morning the things that come from the Word of God. Just wanted to give a shout-out real quick to Richard. Richard came several weeks ago from listening to the broadcast and coming and meeting with us on Sunday night. And just want to say howdy, Richard, and sure would like to see you come back again and get to be able to know you a little bit better, and all the others of you out there that have done the same thing. It's a real privilege to get to meet you in person. We are in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we've been here for a while already, and we'll probably continue to be here for a while. I really enjoy teaching through the Bible, what's called expositionally. In other words, that you choose a passage of Scripture and you just go through it verse by verse, and you do your best to draw out the meaning of it. Now, sometimes I start on something and then move on to something else. We were in Ecclesiastes for quite a while, and I just wanted to take a break from that for a minute and move on to something else, because it's good for us to understand the whole counsel of God, even though it all connects and intersects, and it all gives glory and honor to the one who gave it to us in the first place. So Hebrews chapter 11 is what's called the faith chapter. And the reason it's called that is because the author, who I believe is Paul the apostle, was writing to Jewish people who had chosen to respond to God's grace through Jesus, the Messiah, their Christ. And they had responded to his grace, but then things got difficult. Persecution from family and friends, and maybe economic difficulties, and people not buying or selling from them anymore, or just all kinds of different things. The confiscation of their property. We read about that in Hebrews chapter 10, right toward the end. And remember that the author there was encouraging them in verse 36, you need to persevere, so that when you have done the will of God, that you will receive what's promised. In other words, it's not just making a one-time commitment and saying, okay, you know, Jesus, I'm going to follow you, or God, I want to follow you. That's a great start. But God expects us to continue. God expects us to continue and persevere and remain walking in faith, almost like a marriage. My oldest daughter, Sarah, just got married here a couple of weeks ago. And although the beginning of a marriage is amazing, and the wedding and the pictures and all the really neat things that go along with a wedding, that's just the beginning. You know, Chad and Sarah made vows to each other before God that they would remain with each other until death do them part. There are no conditional clauses in there. They have promised to be faithful to God and to each other. And so, you know, this is something that as Sarah's parents and Chad's parents, we both expect them to keep those promises, that they wouldn't shrink back, that they wouldn't say, well, I'm tired of this now, that we expect them to continue on. Lisa, my wife, and I just celebrated 28 amazing years together, and yet it doesn't seem like it's been any time at all. And we know that Lord willing, we're going to just continue to walk by faith and determine to choose a faithful life before God and to each other. And so this is why faith is so important. Faith is what God has given us. It's not just I hope so. It's not just dumb luck or blind luck. It's not just jumping off a cliff in the dark. It's God's word to us. That's what the Bible is. That's what the scriptures are. From Genesis to Revelation, it's God's word to us. All scripture is God-breathed. In other words, it's like it's coming from the very mouth of God. And these are the things that God has revealed to us. He's made himself known through his word. Now, his word also says by the very things that he has created that we can know him and that we're without excuse. When you look at all of the design in the universe, in the things that we can see, even in the things that we can't see with our naked eye, God is an amazing, awesome, wonderful, intelligent, powerful designer. And even from those things, we ought to seek him and to try to get to know him. But his word reveals even more specifically, more intimately, who he is as our creator, as our Lord, as our God. And so these are things that we accept by faith. And what is faith for? Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we don't see. So even the world around us in the universe, and we say, well, where did we come from? Well, ultimately, it goes back to the very first cause, and that first cause is God. God spoke the creation into existence. In Hebrews 11 and verse 3, it says, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was invisible. God spoke it into existence. And then the last time we spoke about Abel, that by faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. So in other words, they had the word of God on this subject of offerings, sacrifices. And Abel, by faith, brought God the offering, the sacrifice that God had commanded. God had already given instruction and direction about. Abel did. Cain didn't. God accepted Abel's offering back there in Genesis 4, and Cain got mad and upset. And even when God tried to, you know, turn Cain around and get him to think about where he was and how he needed to change, Cain chose not to. And so we know he became the first murderer, and he killed his brother Abel because he was envious and jealous. Well, Abel is an example of someone who did what was right by faith, regardless of what anybody else around him did, even his own brother. And so Abel still speaks to us today that we need to listen to God's word. We need to do as God says. We need to believe that God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness in the very best way. And so let's talk about Enoch this morning. Enoch in Hebrews chapter 11 and starting in verse 5, it says, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So there again, this is why faith is so important. This is why God's righteous ones will live by faith. It's why God takes no pleasure in the one who shrinks back, who quits walking by faith, who quits listening to God. Okay, we don't want to be that kind of people. We don't have to be. Now, we can choose to be. God's not going to keep us from turning our backs on him. But why would you want to do that when you taste and see how good God is? So without faith, it's impossible to please God. Abel demonstrated faith. Cain didn't. Abel was accepted. Cain wasn't. Cain murdered his brother. And then, you know, that was really bad. Okay, he became the first murderer. And so he's trying to give these Hebrews he's writing to example after example of what faith is, what faith does. Now, Enoch is very interesting because it says that he was taken from this life by God because before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Wow, doesn't that sound good? He was taken because he pleased God. And you know, more than anything, folks, we should want to please God. Okay? I want you to just think about that for a little bit while we listen to our first song this morning. Just think about what it means to please God. And maybe you don't know what that means. Maybe you don't know how to please God. Maybe you're like, why do I need to please him? What difference does it make? We'll talk about that in a little bit when we come back. But how vital, how important it is to live by faith, so that we may please God, so that God will commend us because we live by faith and don't shrink back. So our first song this morning is a song by Mandisa. It's called Overcomer. And here's the thing in this life. We need to make sure we keep living by faith, and whatever comes against us, that we'll stand up against it, that we'll just continue to trust God and believe that God exists and that God works all things out for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. Let's listen to Mandisa sing Overcomer this morning. All right, we're back this morning, and let's go from Hebrews chapter 11. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 5 and learn a little bit more about Enoch. Now, there's not a whole lot about him in the Bible, but the things that are there are very interesting. So Genesis chapter 5, and starting in verse 21. Chapter 5 is kind of a genealogy from Adam all the way down through Noah, through Seth, the next son after Cain and Abel. But it says in chapter 5 of Genesis, verse 21, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God, then he was no more because God took him away. So that's all that it says there in Genesis chapter 5, but it's always been kind of interesting to me that he lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Now, 65 is not too old, right? Right? 65? No, obviously their lifespans were a little bit longer, but a lot of the other ancestors that came before him, they had children about that time. But it's interesting that it says in verse 22, after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years. So I just think it's really interesting that it mentions after his. And it doesn't mean that he wasn't faithful at all before that. I'm sure he was in ways. But here's the thing is, after Methuselah was born, wow, all of a sudden I think that as a dad he realized responsibility and, wow, how important this was and the things that he was responsible for teaching Methuselah and all the other sons and daughters that came after that. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing like becoming a parent that will make you turn toward God. And you need to make sure and turn toward him from the moment they're born, probably for the rest of your life. My children are all older. Like I said, my daughter just got married here recently, and my oldest son is going to be getting married toward the end of this year, Lord willing. And I've got a daughter in college still living at home with me, and a son that's just getting ready to get his driving permit. And so we're kind of in those years, but you need a lot of wisdom, and you need to turn to God, and you need to cast all your frustrations and anxieties about your children on God. And you know, God's word doesn't just give you an exact manual of how to deal with everything. God expects us to use our common sense and the things in his word to parent our children. But I'm just telling you, I don't know, without God and without knowing that God was there and without knowing I could trust God and without knowing that ultimately my children belong to God, it would be a much more difficult process, I think. And so I'm so proud of my children and my wife and their desire to do what's right. We're not perfect people, but it sure is a pleasure to see your children walking in truth and striving to live according to the truth. And so it says that Enoch walked faithfully with God for 300 years, and then God took him away. Now, here's another interesting passage in Jude. So in the New Testament, the letter that Jude wrote right before Revelation, so it's kind of right toward the back of the Bible. In Jude, and there's only one chapter in Jude, but in verse 14, it says, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these different kinds of people that were false and untrue and ungodly and wicked. It says he prophesied about them. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all of them of the ungodly acts they have committed in their ungodliness and of all of the defiant words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So from Jude's account here, it sure seems like Enoch was a prophet. He was a man of God that spoke out against his generation. Now, Enoch was the father of Methuselah, And Methuselah was the father of Lamech, who was Noah's father. And so, of course, we're going to look at Noah in just a little bit, but you obviously realize that Enoch was alive before the great flood. And so apparently from Jude's account, we understand that Enoch understood something about God's judgment that was coming. He understood all of the godless acts and all the things that people were doing and saying against God, or their lack of faith in God and turning aside to everything else. Enoch prophesied and he spoke about that. And that may have been a reason, or part of the reason, that God took him away. The flood was coming, and here was a faithful man of God that had endured and persevered and been faithful for these 300 years. And it may have been that those that he was prophesying against were coming to kill him, were going to put him to death. And so God took him away. He removed him from all of that and rescued him, if you would. But even more importantly, what the Bible says about the fact that he walked with God faithfully in Hebrews, he was commended as one who pleased God, as one who pleased God. And that's what we need to be intent on doing. Remember in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Why? Well, because we don't have the right or the authority or the power or anything else to tell God what it's all about. It's not up for us to tell God what we are and what we aren't going to do and what we should and shouldn't believe and how we are or aren't going to act. It is our privilege and responsibility and duty to recognize our Creator, the one who gave us life, and to recognize His word and His will, and to follow that and do that. In Ephesians, the fifth chapter, in Ephesians chapter 5, it says in verse 15, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." And I want to ask you this morning, do you understand what the Lord's will is? And you say, well, which part of it? And I would say, all of it. And you say, well, I don't know all of it. And I'd say, well, I probably don't either all of it, but I know a lot of it. And I want to continue to learn what it is. I want to continue to strive to understand what God would have me be and do and think and say. I want to be like Him. Okay? I want to be more like God than the world that I live in. I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind through His word and will, rather than just to go along with what the world says and thinks and does. Okay? I want to please God. Now, God might not take us like He did Enoch. He only did that with one other person. But, hey, I am content to be faithful and walk and please God in the best way I can, and I hope you will too. Hey, let's listen to our last song this morning. This is a song by Casting Crown called Glorious Day. And it will be a glorious day when the Lord Jesus comes back for us or we go to meet Him. In either case, that's not going to happen without faith in God, in the Son of God, in the Word, and the will of God. So think about all those things as we listen to this next song.
One day when heaven was filled with His praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is He. The Word became flesh and the light shined among us, His glory revealed. Living He loved me, dying He saved me, and buried He cared. stretched out on a tree and took the nails for me. He's living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. And buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day.
That's about all the time that we have this morning. Thanks so much for listening again. Keep living by faith. Keep learning what God has to say to you through the Word of God. You can do that. We'd love to encourage you and invite you to please come and visit us at the Church at Las Vegas. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. That's right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. You can meet with us Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. Or Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We'd love to meet you any and all of those places. You can also find out more about us online at thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com, and just love to see you and hear all about your walk and your questions and concerns. Hey, until we meet again next week, Lord willing, keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.